tonight we're going to learn about winning a soul to Christ. Winning a soul to Christ. Our theme for this portion is Proverbs 11:30, as we see up on the screen. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And so I'm going to do my best to figure out if we can make this work. We did. All right. The Great Commission is the purpose of our church, by the way. That's the purpose of every church. It's the purpose of every Christian. Every Christian's purpose is to fulfill the Great Commission. It's a threefold commission. It's to win the lost, to baptize the saved, and to teach the saved. There we go. Matthew 28:18 through 20 gives it to us out of Scripture. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Amen. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Everybody is designed by God to give out the gospel message. But each one of us have different experiences in our lives. We've lived in different places. We've done different things. And so God has designed us so that we have similarities with other people. Do you ever run into somebody and you just feel like, boom, immediately you've known them all your life? And it's easy to communicate with someone like that. So God has given us opportunities and put us in positions in life where we can win folks to Christ. People that maybe others can't. For example, I'll meet people in my lifetime that you might never meet. And you're definitely going to meet people in your lifetime that I'm never going to meet. All of them need the gospel. There's some. I got my hair cut today, and I was talking to the barber, and it was a female, and I said she was combing the hair over, and I said I kind of wear it like Opie Taylor did years ago, and she said, who? I said Opie Taylor. She goes, what year is that from? I said, oh, about 1961. She said, that's before my time. And I said, yeah. I said, do you know who Andy? It's from the Andy Griffith Show. She said, the what? So there's people that you say Andy Griffith to, and they're going to associate with you. And you older people who have experienced those same statements that I have just made, the younger people know exactly how I feel. So you and I would relate on that level. And so she doesn't relate to what I was saying on that level. But I know there's things that I don't know about her and things that I don't relate to that she relates to. Sometimes they'll say, I'll watch the news and some movie star, singer or something gets themselves in trouble. And I'll say, who's that? That's not Bing Crosby. I know that name. It's not Frank Sinatra, though he got himself in plenty of trouble. It's not Dean Martin. So God makes each one of us have the life, allows us to have the life we have so we can cross the paths of people who have similarities, and it makes us makes it easier to win someone to Christ. Now, each of us should have a plan to lead someone to Christ. Each of us should have a plan, and basically, I'm going to give you tonight the Romans Road. Now, I'm going to recommend to you that when you go soul winning, that you get a little that you keep with you. I keep in my car, every vehicle I have, and with me a New Testament. I only use the New Testament I have for the purpose of winning people to Christ. And I cheat. I put a marker where I want to start. I mark the verses with ink, and I circle verse numbers so that I can pick them out easily. And there's a section I go back into Revelation, and so I dog-eared the pages back there so my Bible would flip to that automatically. I keep a ribbon marker on my verses I use for eternal security. So once I get there, I know where I'm at. I know what I'm doing. And with all of my New Testaments, I don't really use my New Testaments to read my Bible from. I don't really use them for any other purpose
but for the purpose of winning someone to Christ. So I make the binder, the binding, easily open to the pages that it's familiar turning to. Does that make sense to you? So it makes it much easier. So we're going to start with the Romans Road tonight. And the first verse we're going to look at for the Romans Road is Romans 10:3.
As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. I'm not going to go over what I say. I'm sorry. As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Yeah, Romans 3:10. What did I say? Oh, 10:3. I've been drinking too much water lately. Now, see, that comes from living up in Cleveland as a boy. The Cleveland water was called Lake Erie Champagne. So when we would say that, everybody laughs that you're not from Ohio. Ha, ha, ha. Let's go on. All right. So I'm not going to tell you what I say tonight, but I'm just going to give you the Romans Road. Romans 3:10. Then I go to Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And just a little bit, I'm going to tell you every subject that comes up, what happened. There? All right, we're back. And then Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then I go to Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passes upon all men, for that all have sinned. Just saying everybody's a sinner. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. All God's children are sinners. Amen? Anyway, let's move on. Then I go to Romans 6:23. I'm just giving you the rough outline of the Romans Road. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's the next verse in the Romans Road. Then the next verse is Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I love those words right there. While we are yet sinners. Not looking for us to get better before we can get saved. Taking us just right where we are. Wicked, vile, and undone. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he didn't wait for us to get better. Amen. And that can help you later on, by the way. Then I go to Romans. Romans 9:9, 10, and 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say might be saved, doesn't say could be saved, shall be saved. Now, I use verse 13, yes? Well, it is Romans 10:9-13. Well, I got Romans 9. I'm sorry for that error. That's Romans 10. Romans 10. Sorry. Again, too much Lake Erie Champagne. So Romans 10:9, 10, and 13. And so those are the verses there. And so when I look at those, I love that last one because it really is a promise. The last one's a complete promise. And that's the promise that you and I can always depend on. Sometimes we confuse some things. Let's look at verse number 9 there. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Some people get hung up on that word confess.
Yes, yes, yes.
If you come from a different religious background, you may feel like you need to go to a priest.
Right.
Or go to a rabbi.
Right.
And have your sin forgiven first before you can continue on. That's not what it means.
Right.
You know that.
Right.
I know that.
Right.
But we're not talking to people like you and me. We're talking to people that don't know. And so it's important that we give them all of that. Now, that's the Romans Road. That's the Romans Road. I always read. There it is. I always read each verse 2 times to the people before I try to explain anything. Okay? Always read the verse 2 times before you try to explain everything. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not always listening. Amen. I'm glad people repeat things. Sometimes I'm not always hearing. I'm trying to listen, I just can't hear. Amen. So I repeat all verses two times, all right? So what we're going to do is I'm going to give you the subject of the verses. And basically there's four subjects we're going to cover when we lead someone to Christ, okay? I'm going to give those subjects to you and the verses for those subjects. Now, I don't use the Romans Road completely as it is. My plan's a little different. Because I believe as you develop as a soul winner, you need to develop a plan that you're comfortable with. Okay?
Yeah.
Verses that you relate to. The more comfortable you are as the speaker, the more comfortable people will be as you speak to them. I was listening to a commentator the other day. I'm trying to think of the gentleman's name. The doctor was getting out of the presidential race. Dr. Carson was leaving the presidential race. And here's what the commentator said. Commentator says when he gives a speech, he doesn't give a speech. What he really does is he's talking to you. And you can feel his sincerity. And the reason that people like Dr. Carson as a candidate is because they can relate to what he's saying, because he's not talking to the room. He's talking to you.
Right.
A good preacher, as they preach, when you first start preaching, you talk to the room. And then you learn to talk to people. And you look people in the eye as you speak. And they feel comfortable with you. Because you feel comfortable with the message you're delivering. When a person's not comfortable with the message they're delivering, they're going to speak to the room. But when you're real comfortable with what you're talking about, it's going to be like two old friends getting together over a cup of coffee and just having a chat. And that's what I call sincerity speaking really is. And so if you're going to become proficient at leading someone to Christ, then you, like myself, you need to develop a style, a program, a soul-winning order for you. Now, I use a lot of those verses, but I use other verses as well. And some of those verses I don't use because they don't fit comfortably with my presentation. But they help that you don't have to use that exact process to win someone to Christ. I talked to one guy one time and he said, yeah, I don't know about you. He said, I use the Leviticus Lane. And I said, you do what? He said, I use Leviticus Lane. And he showed me all. You can go through the book of Leviticus and you can lead someone to Christ. It's all right there. Just like the Romans Road is. It's Leviticus Lane. And I thought, man, that's amazing. And everything that we use in the Romans Road was in the book of Leviticus.
Amen.
I never knew that. So as you become comfortable, you'll develop a style of your own and verses of your own. So we're going to talk about the first two verses in the Romans Road. Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. Romans 3:10, as it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The subject here is that everybody's a sinner.
Right.
That's the subject here. And if there's four things we have to know to go to heaven. We have to know that we're a sinner. If we don't know that we're a sinner, if we can't get someone lost, they cannot get saved. Does that make sense to you? Because if they're not lost, they don't know that they even want to be saved. Many, many years, I tried to tell my brother Don. My brother Don was in the Air Force. He had five children, I think. My brother Don was the most moral, unchristian man I had ever met. And I mean that. He was in the Air Force. He was a colonel. And you never heard him swear. When he'd go home at night, he went home to his wife. He never tried to do anything like that. My brother almost never drank any liquor. He paid his bills on time. He taught his children to say yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, ma'am, no, sir. He taught them to obey and follow directions. He was kind yet stern, gentle yet a leader.
People in the Air Force followed him willingly. He was so good at his job that the Air Force normally moves folks around every 2 to 4 years. And he was at his last post for, I think, 12 years. Because he did such a great job at what he did. But you know what I had a hard time getting my brother to understand? That he was a sinner. He didn't lie. He said, I don't lie. I don't remember if I told a lie, what I told a lie last. I don't use the Lord's name in vain. I go to church. I say prayers for people. I give money. I couldn't get them lost. I couldn't get them to get saved because there was no need for him to receive Christ as Savior. He could see no wrong that he had done. Now, if he didn't, sooner or later, I did have the opportunity to lead him to Christ, and he get it saved, and now he's in heaven. But you have to use I use these two verses, and I use them as if they're one, as it's written. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why? Because we're all sinners. I'm a sinner. Everyone that's in this auditorium is a sinner. The preacher's a sinner. Everybody goes to our church is a sinner. And sometime in your lifetime, like me, you sin too. Is that right? That's how I use those verses. All right? We're going to move on to the next subject. There it is. Romans 5:12 and Romans 6:23. The subject is, we're all sinners and there is a second death. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Then we use Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the subject matter here is, we're all sinners with a second death in hell, or second death of hell. That's the subject we're going to talk about with the person. So the first subject we're going to talk to him about is being a sinner. The second subject we're going to talk about him is the cost of sin. We're all sinners, and there is a second death. That second death is in hell. Now, because I had a hard time in my soul winning presentation using these two verses to take someone to that point, I went in my Bible and I used Revelation 21:8.
Yes, yes, yes.
I do that because I feel more comfortable there. I feel like I'm showing them what we're talking about. Revelation 21:8. Now, I'll give you more of this information later on, but I will just say this tonight. In Revelation 21:8, it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderer, and the whoremonger, and the sorcerer, and the idolater, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So, I read Romans 5:12, but God commends his love towards us, and while we were all yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God, Jesus paid the sin debt for us, but we're all sinners. I take him here and I say, I read that verse two times and I say, I'm sure you're not a abominable person, or a murderer, right? You're not a murderer. Oh good, because I get nervous around murder. Yeah. That's what I say, and they laugh, I laugh, I'm being myself, I'm putting my personality into it. And then it says all sorcerers and idolaters, and then, all liars. Yeah. See, I relate to this verse personally. I'm a liar. I've lied like a rug ever since I was a child. When I was first born, I'd scream like I had a pin sticking me just so my mom would give me a Bible to suck on. Or somebody pick me up out of my crib. Amen? I'd scream and I'd wail. What was I doing? I was just trying to get their attention. Well, I wasn't really in any pain. I remember my mama doing this to my brothers and sisters, and this is why I know I was like this. She'd pick them up and she'd check their, back when they had pins for diapers, and not tape or Velcro or whatever they have. I don't know. Back when they were cloth and not a paper sack.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And so my mama would check to make sure, she'd check to see if they were wet. And then she'd say, oh, is there a pin sticking them? Because they'd come undone, you know, and they'd stick in their side. No pin sticking them. Are they hungry? No, not hungry. What do you want? I just want you to hold me. I want you to talk to me. I want you to tell me that you love me. You know, that's all that the baby wanted. And so if my brothers and sisters were that way, surely I was the same way.
Yeah.
Amen. And so that started the lying process. And I say, and this is all liars, There's me. I've told me a bucket full of lies in my lifetime. In fact, then I say, if I was really honest with you, I've told me a boatload full of them. Probably a shipload full. And I'm sure that sometime in your lifetime like me, you've probably lied too, haven't you? And that qualifies you now for that second death. And that second death is in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone.
Right.
Now, you see why I use that verse for me? I relate to it. I can tie it all up into a tiny little knot. And then I say, but God loves you and doesn't want to see you go to hell. And then I take it to Romans 5:12.
But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. That's our sinful condition. God loved us even though you're a liar. Or a murderer. Or a whoremonger. Or a sorcerer. I was telling that to one lady, and I was standing under, one of my kids were with me, and I was leading a lady to Christ, and she said, what's a whoremonger? I said, well, that's kind of like, you know, sexual sin. She means like a hooker? And I said, yes. And she said, well, I'm not one, but she is, according to her friend. I said, that's okay. God loves her too. She can get saved just to... And she said, I can? I said, yeah, look at the verse. There's no difference to God between the liar, which you just said you were, and the hooker, which your friend just said you were. Wow, they said. So you don't ever know what's really going to come your way. So I use that verse because it helps me. And I talk it through just like I talked it through to you, with you tonight. So that subject is, we're all sinners. And there's a second death. That second death is in hell. And so I use Revelation 21:8 because it says in hell. And the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone is what it says. And I say, we commonly call that hell. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go there. Do you see how easy that verse ties into the Romans road then? So that's why I use it. All right, we're going to stop there tonight. It's already 8 o'clock. And I know we got started late. We got started late. And I apologize for that. We'll pick it up here next week, though, okay? There's so many things I want to teach you. There's so many ways to make soul winning easier. Because once you're comfortable with what you're doing, it becomes a part of you. It's just like talking to your very best friend or talking about your grandchildren. Amen. It's simple. Well, let's pray. And I want to thank you for listening so well. If you need a copy of the Romans Road, I have some of them up here. And we'll pass those out to you if you like that. Father, thank you for what we've learned tonight. Thank you for the simple truth that we've learned about soul winning. Now, Lord, help us to do our very best to glorify you in what we do. And help us to walk in your ways. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.